good morning, everybody. I got to admit that I all thought less of you than I should have. When we talked about the chairs this morning, I was like, oh, don't set up chairs. It's too cold. No one will show up. Look at you all. You're like the hardest core group of people I've ever seen. So today I want to talk about the physical reset. And I want to start by talking about kind of where my head first went with this. So just, we're going to have a little audience participation if that doesn't freak you all out too much. So I just want you to shout out things that people have told you to be physically healthy. One I know is you need 8 hours of sleep a night. Anyone have 8 hours of sleep last night? Y'all suck. Okay, what else do we got? What other things have people told you to stay physically healthy? Exercise. How much exercise do you need? Okay. Anyone consistently pulling off minimum? Nice. Okay, you all get thumbs up. What else? What else? Drink water. There's something about you have to drink like 600 glasses of water a day or something. When I was a kid, we went from butter. Then butter was bad, so we went to margarine. Now margarine's bad, right? Does anyone know the current? What are we on, butter or margarine? Right? Butter's good? Hey, I'm on it. Where are we with bacon? I got a thumbs up, so we're all on the bacon. Whoever is talking to you, I like them. Okay, what else do we got? What else? How do you stay physically healthy? Oh, meditation. That's a good one. Yeah, kind of calm the nervous system a little bit, right? Kind of land the plane. Oh, there's a nice one. Drink water. Okay, whoever yelled that out, what's the actual amount of water you're supposed to drink? I said 600 glasses a day, somewhere plus or minus, right? How much?
Eight.
Eight glasses of water? We're going to have a bathroom break halfway through the message if I drink that much water. So I spent a bunch of time thinking about physicality. And actually, I wrote most of a message about physicality. And then I sat and looked at the message and thought, this is just the stuff we just talked about. Kind of our best thinking around how do you stay physically healthy. And I realized I didn't even care. It's not a good place to start a message from, right? Hey guys, I'm going to tell you a message that I don't really care about. So I sat with it for a while. And I started to dig deeper and ask the question, how does our physicality and our spirituality interact? How do they relate to each other? Does one impact the other? Are they somehow connected? Are they disconnected? And I thought about this space and thought, isn't that what we're here for? To explore our spirituality as it relates to our physicality? Because the reality is, there's a pretty good chance that we've all heard metaphors of how our spirituality works. Anyone from a more traditional background of church? Yeah, that's my background too. In my background, we had these very specific metaphors. When you're scared, you know, when you're at the hospital and a loved one is sick and you're just going, like, something. There's this idea that an entity, God, is sitting right next to you and bringing comfort in that moment. That would actually feel pretty nice, wouldn't it? Now, I know there's a bunch of things you have to think about to get there, but the idea of not being alone in those moments, or maybe having something powerful beside you or with you, or maybe you're needing to make a major decision, something big's happened, you've gone through a major life change or divorce or something, and there's this idea of wisdom sitting right next to you. In our tradition, it's a woman. Lady wisdom. But the idea is that there's something more journeying on your life with you. You're not alone. I don't know about you, but that actually kind of feels really nice. Especially in those moments. So my question for you today is this. How do we get more of that in our lives? not believe a certain thing and this is how it's all going to go. Those are just metaphors. That's all that is. How do we have a connection to something more in our lives? And how do we get more of more? That's where I want to go today. And to do what I want to start with a message that I actually finished a while ago. It's about a guy named Saul. And Saul is walking down the street one day on the road to Damascus. And there's actually a picture of it. There's a famous painting of it. And there's a light that spears out from heaven and like a thousand suns just like blasts him. And he hears this voice saying, "What in the world do you think you're doing?" Now, the artist took a little extra license on this because the text says only Saul experienced that. No one else saw a light. No one else saw a voice. So think of you and your buddies walking down the street one day, and all of a sudden one of your buddies like falls over on the ground, like freaking out. That's what happened. It says the moment was so profound that Saul's life changed 180 degrees. He started off hating Christians, became one of the leaders of the Christian movement. He was literally going down the road to find a bunch of Christians to arrest them and take them for trial to living with a Christian and identifying as one. The moment was so profound for him that his name no longer worked for him. Think about that. So profound that he's like, yeah, Saul, it's just, I'm not Saul anymore. I'm so different now that name Saul, that's like the old me. I need a new name. Changed his name to Paul. Or for those of you who grew up in the church, St. Paul. But it started off with a moment where something more touched his life. And everything changed physically after that. So we have these stories of our spirituality changing our physicality. I started off Saul, and now I'm Paul. And the question I want to ask today is, does it go the other way? Can you switch it, have your physicality impact your spirituality? And to explore that, I want to invite Alessandra back up on stage. Can you give her a round of applause? Let me just get arranged here. Thank you.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
They're all going, is she going to sing now? Less students talking, more singing. So the reason I want to bring you up is because you actually had a story that when I started talking about this message, just really captured this idea of how does our physicality impact our spirituality? Now, for those of you who don't know, you all know Alessandra is a beautiful singer, songwriter, right? We get to experience her music every couple of weeks. It's fantastic. Thank you. But your first training is actually as a dancer, right? Mm-hmm. When did you start dancing?
3-4 years old.
So like?
Little.
Yeah. Full on, like?
Not full on, no, just little bits at a time. Recreational, and then it went from there.
And you just kept growing, like training?
Yeah, and just loved it, so.
Formal training?
Yep, and once I was in high school, I was in like a pre-professional program, and then auditioned for a professional university program with modern contemporary dance, and I did that and got a degree in theater and dance.
So, wow.
Yeah.
So like, you're a polymath, you can do everything, right?
Yeah. Math? No.
But there's something happened, because so dancers, if you probably all know, their instrument is their bodies. And so unlike me, who kind of shuts my body down and just gets it to move where I'm supposed to move it, right? She was very in tune. And so when you're 21, something started to happen. What happened there?
Well, something acute happened. I had woke up with a lot of terrible stomach pain, and so I hunched my way to the hospital, the emergency room, in the middle of the night. And after some investigation, I had found to have pancreatitis, which is really not something a healthy young 20-year-old woman. I don't even really know. It's an inflamed pancreas, and it's likened to childbirth. And I've had 2 children, and that is true.
It is really, it's similar that painful. Pain.
I was in the hospital for a couple of weeks. They never really found out why I had that. But
weeks.
Yeah.
Weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
So okay. then they ask you a bunch of questions just to kind of see where you're at with things, like just a questionnaire, and I was answering a lot of the questions strangely. Okay. So then they did some more tests and discovered I actually also had what's called ulcerative colitis,
Ulcerative
colitis. Yeah. It's so like, Crohn's colitis, some people might know.
So inflammation.
Yeah, it's a disease of the colon. Yeah.
Really? That's a pretty big thing for a 21-year-old to wrestle down.
Yeah, well, there was a lot I didn't know about it, so anything.
How did it hit you at that time?
I think you just think about your future. Like, okay. What does that mean? Because it's not a disease they know tons about, and there isn't a cure. You can be in states of remission, but it can also just increasingly get worse throughout life. So they don't really know a lot.
And yours is special. Like, there's a group of you that has, it doesn't just sit here, it goes into the rest of your body, right?
Yeah, over the years it's shown up in my eyes, and then it eventually showed up in my spine. After like a year of terrible pain, I just thought I had a sore back, but turns out it can be there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So the reason I wanted to share, to get to this moment, is part of your treatment is you get blood work. So you get a treatment regularly, but they check your blood all the time.
Mm-hmm. So it's an intravenous drug every 6 weeks. I go and I sit. It's the most relaxing time of my life. Sit there for a couple hours, and they take blood work to make sure everything's okay. And so that particular time, I guess they did the blood work, and then I carried on my merry way.
Right.
And then got a phone call after saying, my liver tests were like off the charts, scary.
Oh my!
So, yeah.
So they called you to say. Isn't that the worst moment of everyone's life, right? It gets worse. Just bear with me. But your doctor calling you after a test, being like, we need to talk.
Yeah. Okay.
So they send you right away. So they said, like...
They said, are you okay? Are you feeling okay? And of course, then I'm like, am I? Because I was.
You just literally had biked from Calgary to Canmore.
Yeah. Directly. I literally got off the bike, and I got that phone call. And they're like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm okay.
My butt hurts a lot from sitting on that seat for the last 4 hours. But other than that, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're freaking out.
Yeah, my GI is calling me. Like, then that's weird when she, does that sort of thing. My gastroenterologist is calling.
Oh, like the specialist.
Yeah. Okay. So then I start to... So she's... Ordered.
Everyone's freaking out.
Mm-hmm, seems that way.
Okay.
So then I did.
Rightly yeah. So. So they send you for an MRI to be like, okay, yeah. We got to figure out what's going on in here.
So they sent me for an MRI to check my abdomen.
Okay.
And then I got an email saying... Something is up with your MRI. Something's wrong with your scans. This is from my GI, and she said, I'll call you in the morning. Try not to worry. Cool.
Oh, my God. Worst doctor moment ever. Okay, so let's just put this in perspective. Crohn's colitis, in your style, can take out your organs. So this is, we're talking life-threatening stuff here now. This isn't just like, I'm going to have a bad toenail. Mm-hmm. This is like big deal. Mm-hmm. You've had one scan, your blood work has failed. Mm-hmm. They've go for the second scan. It's now come back saying, we found something wrong. Mm-hmm. I'll call you tomorrow. Don't worry.
Yeah. This was at the end of the day, so
That's horrible.
Mm-hmm. It was.
So the reason we're here is because I wanted to share that night.
Right.
What was that like to have that call from that doctor with that illness, wrestling that down? What happened?
Well, I was alone. My husband was out of town, and I had to put my kids to bed and somehow hold that together. So I did that, and then I kind of just was sat on my bed and thought, well, how am I going to do this? How will I get through this night? It's not with Google, I tell you that. I did not ask Google what they thought I should do.
Very wise.
But I just was at a loss. I thought, I cannot make it till morning. It's like I couldn't breathe, and my heart was racing so hard. And
flying through all the things that can go wrong. Like,
I had no idea, because I really didn't know. So then I had this moment on my bed where it's like, you have to do something. Something has to happen in this moment. And something inside of me said, now you have to dig deep.
What does that feel like, that moment?
It was this moment where you have to go, I felt like in dig deep meant beyond yourself. You have to now find something beyond you. You have to dig deep.
So you're literally at the end of your emotional capacity.
Yeah.
And that, the thought in your head, does that feel like the divine?
totally felt like the divine.
Okay.
And so I just started to write, and I wrote this song called Feel It that we've sung here before, and feel it, the here and now. Leave it, leave it, leave it, what's bringing you down. And it just, all of my words just unraveled, and I felt, like in the moment, I felt not only the divine, but I felt this collective experience of, there's a line in the song that's, you're not the only one. I felt like there are millions of people right now waiting on a test result, getting bad news. And I felt this, like, unity, I just didn't feel alone. And there was this peace that came with writing the song and feeling that.
If you hadn't had that moment, what would that night have looked like for you?
I don't know. There wouldn't have been sleep. There would have been a lot of racing, and it would have been pretty awful.
And after you wrote the song?
Mm-hmm. I could sleep. I slept.
Really?
Yeah.
There's actually a fairly big tradition in her, this idea of at the end of our physicality, when there's nothing left, when we're at our end, when we're at our wit's end, that there's this divine moment, or there's a moment of something more. The story of Jesus at the very end of his life traditionally is written kind of in this horrible ending. We don't have licensing to show movies anymore, but if I showed you The Passion of the Christ, it's just like a blood fest. And I like violent movies, but that one's a little bit too much for even me. But it's this idea that at the end of his life, he's physically destroyed. And then they nail him to a cross, and they bring him upright, and they drop him to the hole. And as he's sitting there, the one author, his name's Luke, who says, I searched out all the best accounts, and this is what I came to. He says this. It says, he puts into Jesus' mouth this line. The very end of his life. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. At the very end, he has this infinite, or this intimate moment with something more. And it's not even this idea of God or more or something. It's this like really intimate word. The word is Abba. Its best translation is kind of like, my father. I have nothing left. It's this incredible moment of something more. So you listen to Alessandra's story, and you listen to our tradition, this idea of spirituality and thin place moments or moments of the divine at the end when we have nothing left, when we're totally spent, it's pretty common. Honestly, I don't want to be on death's door with a call from my doctor to have a spiritual moment.
Yeah,
that
agreed.
Seems like a... okay, I need a bad test result so I can experience something more. But something has shifted for you since then.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, so me and you have been running together for like 6 years, plus or minus 6 years, mm-hmm. somewhere in there?
Yeah, somewhere in there, 5.
5 years? And there's a trail by her house. It's pretty much the best running trail in all of Calgary called the Dougford Trail. Anyone know the Dougford Trail? What a great trail, huh? And so you were running there the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a bit about that run and how it was different?
January 1st, so, you know, I had that feeling of, okay, first run of the year, and the sun was shining. It was cold, but it was beautiful, and I wanted a moment, and so I go into nature when I want to create a moment. I want to feel something spiritual, and so then I don't listen to podcasts, I don't listen to someone's voice, I listen to music, and I go into nature, and so I either, you know, either I'm going downtown or I'm going into Edworthy and Douglas first. So that was that day. And you have to go down a really big hill coming from my house before you get onto the trail. And even as soon as the run started, I felt light. I felt light. And I was like, okay, this might be happening. Here we go. And as I ran down the hill, I opened up my arms and I was just like running like a crazy person. But I just didn't care. And I was like swaying. And I was like, if I fall, this is just going to be a tumbleweed situation. But it felt so, I just wanted every bit of air and oxygen to come into every pore of my body. And so then, you know, you get into
get to the bottom, you start going up the hill.
Yeah, and then you go back. And, yeah, you go into the hill, and then the views start coming. Oh, yeah, that's my picture I took on that run. And I just kept stopping and taking pictures, and every view was like, oh, no, this one. Oh, no, this is better. And then my body just kind of looked left, and I saw the river, and I was like, I have been doing this trail how many times, and I haven't looked left to see this beautiful river with the ice chunks and the hoarfrost and the trees. And I had... my spiritual moment on January 1st.
That was nice. Yeah. There's something about, I've run with you for a lot of time. You don't stop.
No, I don't stop.
You just go. Yeah. I'm the one going, hey, can we take a break, please? Mm-hmm. So what was different about this one? Why were you stopping?
I think I was just listening. Mm. I just felt like I had to stop. I had to take it in. Mm. And I didn't want the feeling to end either. And I wanted to draw it out as long as I could. I just felt so at peace. When I run in nature, I feel like, and I'm by myself, I feel like really, really whole, and I feel really, really understood, mm-hmm. and not alone.
So that metaphor from the beginning of the divine there within that moment.
It's that same feeling.
Yeah.
Without the heartache.
Can we say thanks to Alessandra, everyone? Were you guys here a couple weeks ago when I talked about sloth? Like one of my brain melting messages. Anyone know seven deadly sins? Sloth is on the list. And what blew my mind about this whole sloth thing is the Bible literally starts in the first two little chunks of the Bible. God did like 6 days of work and then took a break. Sloth. And the thing that blew my brain was, why is it that we think that to be spiritual, we have to constantly be working and going? We can never take a break. When the Bible is designed around this whole idea of every 7 days, rest. You guys aren't getting, that just blew my mind. You guys are all like looking at me like, duh, Clausen, like, doesn't everyone know that? But to me, that blew my mind, right? But then I started thinking, and this is my old metaphor, so there's many different ways to conceive of God. But just work with me for a moment. Conceive of God as this, like, super being in the sky. And somehow, if I take a rest day, that super being gets angry with me because I'm slothful. Does that make any sense? Let's push it a step further. Somehow, rest is spiritual. Now, when I get a good sleep, it feels like a divine moment sometimes, right? You feel me? But why is rest connected to spirituality? If I don't sleep, I'm a bit of a jerk, right? So I get that. And if love is the divine, then I understand that my sleep is impacting how I behave. But go deeper than that. Why is rest spiritual? So I've been thinking about this for weeks, and all of a sudden one day it clicked, I think. What if it's not about rest, but what if it's about creating space? Think of it this way. Our physical lives are quite noisy, right? I have to be here, I have to do that, I got to get to work, okay, deadlines, this, that, screaming kids, school, whatever, right? It's busy, it's loud, it's constantly going. What if the physical life is loud and the spiritual life is quite quiet? Could it be that our physical life is drowning out our spiritual life? There's a classic line, and I'm going to take it totally out of context, so don't look this up. But it's a classic line from our tradition. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." But just listen to that first line. Be still. Stop. Slow down. Create a break. And know that I'm God. What if it's not rest per se that's spiritual? But what if it's the break in our physical lives, the loudness of our lives, allows us to experience that still small divinity that's all around us? Wouldn't that be beautiful? If there's this idea that something more is happening all the time, it's just our lives are too loud and busy and crazy for us to experience it. In which case then, I don't need to have a scan result that's been bad with a second scan result and an email from my doctor saying, you're probably going to die, but don't worry, you know, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I don't need that to create the moment. What if we can create those moments every day, all day, by creating breaks in our physical life to be still. You can feel it, right? You come here, not just because you have nothing better to do at minus 22. You're here because this is a break in the rest of your life. It's you come focus here. This is a time for me to create space for my spirituality. Could it be that our spiritual lives are happening all the time? Our physical lives are just too loud for us to experience it. Then the physical reset is this. Not, you know, drink more water, exercise more, don't eat margarine, whatever the stupid thing is I'm not supposed to do. By the way, McDonald's is not on that list. That is definitely fair. I heard a groan over there. That's totally not true. The physical reset isn't having the perfect health, the perfect exercise routine, the perfect water intake, the perfect sleep. It's not that. The physical reset is creating room in our lives for the divine to shine through. What if tomorrow when you get up, have your morning shower, instead of pounding through that sucker as fast as you can, what if you just take a moment and just stop? Just feel the warmth of the water on you. Just have a moment. What if in your commute to work tomorrow, instead of having the radio on and hearing all the bad stuff that's going on in the world or podcasts so you can't think, what if you just quieted the moment? Have 5 minutes of nothing. Think of the difference in your day. I visited a friend recently. He builds like high rises. Well, he doesn't build them. His crew builds them, but he's the guy in charge, right? And so he takes me on a tour, and he takes me to the very top of the building, and I'm up there with all these workers, and they're just balls to the wall, like as fast as they can. And I get to the top, and I just look out, and I'm going, what an insane view. Like, how are you guys not just, like, take 2 minutes on your lunch break and just look at this? You can see everything from the mountains to downtown to the prairies. It blew my mind. What if instead of feeling like I work in a high rise and my life sucks, go to the top floor, take a moment, look at the view. Slow down your physicality. I am bad for this. When I'm running, it's just I got an hour of running. Do not stop, right? What if I just stopped? Like Alessandra, take a picture. Actually, you know what? I'm not sure if I was having a stroke or what happened, but I had a moment. I was out dirt biking a couple weeks ago with a buddy. You put studded tires on your dirt bike and you get to ride in the winter. How fun is that, huh? And I was feeling really weird the whole day. It was just me and my buddy and we're ripping along, and I could just feel that I didn't want him to talk every time we stopped. I'm usually the guy who's like, okay, drink your friggin' Pepsi and let's get going. Like, screw brakes. Let's do this thing. Like, I want to ride hard. But for some reason, this day, it felt different. And I just kept going like, hey, shh, shh, shh. We're in the mountains. It is so beautiful. I took a picture of it. It was that day where it was really foggy and the whole valley was full of fog. It was so silent. And there's just this sense of, I could just feel my spirit opening up of like, there's something more in this moment. And then my buddy would be like, so I got a new carb and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, dude, shut up. Divine moment here, right? How do we create these moments in our lives where we just open up the space? Think of it next time your kid drives you nuts, right? First thing you want to do is be like, wah, 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 you know? Just take a minute and look them in the eyes and be like, this is a living, breathing human being that I created. Wow. And then you can give them heck for whatever they did, right? Take moments in your physical life and just create space, silence, whatever that looks like. What would your spiritual life look like if we did the physical reset that just said, I'm going to deliberately create gaps in my life where I can be quiet? My mom, I thought she was nuts growing up, but now in retrospect, I think she understood something. used to be that you could wake my mom up in the middle of the night because you're sick, and she would be up and like take care of you and do whatever. But there's two times you did not talk to my mom, ever. When she's having her coffee in the morning, and then she'd send us off to school, and she had an hour where she would read the Bible and journal. She would just sit. You talk to mom then, you're going to die. She did it every day of her life. She created it. I remember thinking, like, mom, seriously, you're literally dying every second and you're wasting an hour of your life? But I think my mom understood something I didn't. When you create room in your physical life, I think there's a chance to experience something so much more. And when I mean more, I mean capital M more, like the divinity, our spirituality. She had that written into every day of her life. So let me ask you, where can you create space in your physical life? Where can there be moments of stillness? It doesn't need to be an hour like my mom. That's hardcore. 5 minutes. 1 minute. Because if my thesis is right, the loudness of our physicality is drowning out the spirituality that's there all along. We just can't see it. So this year, for New Year's, I'm not going to encourage you to drink more water. Actually, you should exercise more. That's probably healthy. You can come join Run Club with us. It's good fun. No. Find a moment in your day and create some quietness and open yourself up to something more and just see what happens. I can't think of a better physical reset. Fair enough? Next week, we're going to talk about emotional reset. Anyone ever blown their gasket after being emotional? You're going to need to come see this one. I am like the chief of whatever. I'm the pot, you're the kettle, or you're the kettle, I'm the pot, one of the two, but I'm the bad one. So come on out and check it out. Have a great week, everyone. Take some quiet moments.